It's the 100 Sanford podcast. It's Lamar.
Trigger Trey.
We got Trigger Trey in the building. Graham Coffee. We still waiting for Graham Coffee to get on, but it's all right. It's all right. We're going to continue to do what we do here for the 100 Sanford podcast. And before we get started, hey, the 100 Sanford podcast is powered up by the Roll Up Network. And this show was brought to you by our partner, Prize Picks, Daily Fantasy Simplified. Enter, win, and withdraw fast. Just pick the player in the games, over, under, on the stats. Sit back and see what happens. Excuse me, folks. It's that easy. All sports available, but especially our favorite, college football. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 100SANFORD for a 100% match up to $100 and have fun. And you know what? The owner of Prize Picks, man, he's a UGA alum, Adam Wexler. So he started that joint. So big ups to him. Go Dogs. And so what's going on, man? You ain't been in the booth in a minute. What's going on?
Man, working, man. Selling card, that's numbers. I'll be gone during the day. I'll be getting off like by 7. So
yeah, man. Selling them Hellcats. Every time I see you, you selling a Hellcat and getting
joy. I gotta make that commission, man. That's a high commission for me right now.
The people understand that, man. Everybody's gotta make a living. This is a podcast. And until we start making some big time dollars off of this podcast, we got to continue to do what we do, man. How's life? Everything else good for you, man?
Everything else good, man. It's looking great, blessed. Seeing the dogs play looking great, too.
How's the lady life, man? I mean,
I'm chilling.
I ain't going to put you out there like that. I mean,
I'm chilling right now. You're chilling right now.
All right, man. Everything's good on my end, man. We didn't do a show on Thursday. All of us have been traveling, doing different things. Graham's been on the road. I've been on the road. But the family's good,
enjoying that married life right now.
Yeah, man, he's enjoying it. I think he still is probably sleeping in from that married life. He might be It's all good. But he might have been up late last night watching that Penn State game. You know, his wife is a Penn State alum. So
maybe she was
watching that. Maybe he was watching that with her doing the, you know.
I know he got an ear for her. Being an SEC team. Oh, Auburn let me down, man.
Yeah, man, I was surprised by that game. I mean, I thought Auburn would have a tough time going into Happy Valley. I mean, that's a tough place to play that late at night on a whiteout.
It is. It always been. I think it's like, I say like top five. It always been like a top place to play. But we play in hostile environments, though, but I don't know what happened.
Man,
it was some missed calls in the Auburn game, but that doesn't explain it. It just seemed like they, I don't know.
It's a tough place to play. And I think they got that stat wrong because they were saying something about the first time they had a whiteout was 2004. I think that's a lie because I've been to some whiteouts up at Penn State.
I thought they had one last year.
Yeah, they've been having. No, well, no, they said it's the first time they had it was 2004. excuse me. But they've had like one every year. And that was the 17th one. But that's a tough place to play, man. At night. Even if it's the summer, it gets cold, it gets chilly in the middle of central Pennsylvania. I mean, I'm from PA, so I know what it gets like up there, but that's a tough place, and the fans are right on top of you. So I got to give them big ups, quite honestly. Your boy Tank's Bigley, I mean, Tank was doing his thing, though.
Man.
I'm not going to get into it because I know a lot of people still heard he didn't go to UGA, but we didn't pull him. But you got to give them some credit.
Man, I wish he would have came here.
I mean, we good, man, but – let's get into it, man. You know, we had that UAB last week, which we handled our business. No doubt about it. Everybody thought that was going to happen. But what are your emotional thoughts? Not your all in, but your emotional thoughts on yesterday's game against USC, little USC, little USC Junior. what are your emotional thoughts? Because that's the first SEC game that we had on the docket. What's your thoughts so far, man?
From the offensive point of view, what I was glad to see, what we kind of had doubts last year, was JT Daniels deep ball. It was great to see he putting the ball on stride to Burton and AD. Oh, shout out to AD, by the way, and shout out to Terrence Edwards when he came on the pod. We talked about how special AD was. And could remember, we played Cincinnati last year. JT Daniels deep ball wasn't the best. At first, but it seems like he got more comfortable with the offense. He's more comfortable with making reads now. And it just seemed like the offense flowed better with him at quarterback one. It just seemed like it flows better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, who was the announcer? I think it was Todd Blackledge. He was saying the same thing. Yeah, he was saying the same thing. And I respect him because he's a former college quarterback. He's a national championship winner. But he was saying the same thing, man. He was like, when JT Daniels is in there, everything just flows better. And that's only going after like five games, six games, and he's even seen JT in there. And I'm going to go back to that deep ball, which you said. Remember going back to last year, they kept talking about JT's deep ball, and they were saying he didn't feel comfortable in putting his leg into it. So he was really using arm strength and just letting that ball flow. I think now he's stepping into it. He's allowing he's trusting his lower body to make those upper body throws. So, yeah, that deep ball looks pretty, man. And yeah, not only that, he's got a lot more zip on his intermediate passes. His intermediate ones are coming off like rifle shots, man.
Yeah, because you can see it because he threw one to AD on the sideline, and AD made a hell of a catch because he was falling on his route. He still mm-hmm. made the catch. And he threw one to – I think he threw one to Marcus. He threw two to Marcus over me. One he called, and one he dropped. And another thing about that with Marcus, it seems like – I don't know. It seems like he's still scared of that ankle a little bit.
Yeah.
You see, but it's going to take time. He just need to get his confidence, and he'll be all right.
Which is weird, man, because when you look at all his workout videos, he's got better workout videos than anybody out there. I mean, he's working on them box drills. His work. Yeah. So you would think within the game where he's not having to work within a box and he's able, you know, I mean, he's got some press coverage, but at the same time, some zone coverage, you would think he trusts his body a little bit more. But I think he'll get into it just like the rest of those guys. That when they get injured, it's a mental thing at this point. You know what I mean? It's not really a physical thing. It's all mental in terms of, is this thing going to happen again to me? You know, and hopefully he gets over that before we get into the mid-level part of the season, because we're going to need him. Yeah. You know, we're going to have some receivers coming back, but we're going to need him.
And the one thing I did love with Georgia starting off the game, did you see how they open up, like, the game with Brock Bowers throwing the ball to Brock Bowser? That seems like they really like him being the first option to go to open up the game, to open up downfield throws, immediate throws, and stuff like that. Because he's going to be special. Like, I said it on Twitter like last week, I think he's tight end one. To me, I still think he is tight end one. But him and Darnell on the field, that is must-see TV. I think that's a matchup nightmare for any defense to, like, you know, like, to prepare for and stuff like that in the game. But and the one thing I did hope to see that game, I wanted to see Dominic Blaylock get his feet wet. Mm-hmm. I don't know, did I see him on a play or something like that?
He was on the sideline. He didn't come in. He was on the sideline. He had his pads on, though.
I wanted to see Blaylock get his feet wet because right now we played against South Carolina, kind of bottom feeder of the SEC right now. We're just spade for spade, bottom feeder. Then we got Vanderbilt. Them two games was, you know, perfect for him to get his feet wet, knock some of the rust off because he's been out for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And then after we play Vanderbilt, I think we play Arkansas at home.
Yeah, it's Arkansas.
Arkansas is going to kind of be a little trap game, a little test, because they just beat Texas. They beat the hell out of Texas.
They beat I mean, but that's, you know, that's Pitt boss, man. Pittman going to have his boys ready. He's going to have the boys tough. And I saw that coming. I mean, you could see even last year when we played Arkansas, how quick the adjustment that his program made to being able and being ready to play big boy SEC ball. So I could see that coming. But getting back to what you said about Bowers, I mean, one, you lit up Twitter when you said he was tight end one, because, you know, people love Darnell.
They thought I was bugging, but you can see in the games, like, he fits what we trying to do and move on to Georgia, like, get the ball to our tight end. He fits it. That's why you see Todd Harley try to recruit Oscar, and we got Pierce coming up. To me, I don't know. Pierce might be the best one. He's 6'6".
He's different, man.
He got the receiver type tight end body. He's hella fast. He's shifty, and his route running, he's only getting better.
Yeah, and I like what you said, man. When you said that Bowers can be that first option. If you go back and look at that play, and they went back, Todd Blackledge went back and looked at the play, they schemed it open for Bowers. But if you looked, I think it was A.D. Mitchell that was on the outside. He ran a deep post. He would have been open too. So look for that in the future where they run that same play.
Yeah. Because remember, the first drive, they threw it to they threw it to Bowser twice, and they went deep to Burton to open it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know what? Let's talk about that then, man. Let's talk. Let's go offense. Let's go offense first. Out of this game, what did you like about the offense? Let's go there first. What did you like about the offense?
It seemed like it was better than the UAB game, because the UAB game, we really just kind of took shots deep. We didn't work until like the shot. We had intermediate throws. It just seemed like it was more game plan into this game than the last game. Like the first drive, we hit Brock Bowers twice. Then I think we did a run play or something like that. Then we came back to Burton, hit Burton deep. And the deep ball was put on the money. And I did criticize JT last year for a deep ball, but he was coming off an injury and he hadn't played ball in 2 years. But he looked like he really trusts in his mechanics now. How the deep ball is literally put on money. It was put on stride to Burton. It was put on stride.
Yeah, man.
And it's glad and it's good to see Burton at 100% now. It is great to see wide receiver one at 100%.
Dude, it's scary. To see him at 100%.
When I had tweeted, I said, JT throw a deep ball, they drive out, lose my shit. I literally lost my shit because I almost tore my ACL in the process. I was, look, man, I had lost my shit for real. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, man, when you look at this offense in this game, one, I like the way that they did not shut down the offense. Again, because from game one, right, everybody thought we were going to come out explosive. They didn't. Game two, you thought they were going to run the ball. And they didn't. They came out throwing the football. So game three, you're sitting there, okay, we're going to try to establish the run, see what happens. No, those boys continue to come out firing using the pass to set up the run. And that impressed me because that means Kirby's progressing. For all the knocks that people want to give Kirby in his offense, no, he's putting the offense in Munkin's hands and saying, okay.
It seemed like he really giving him the keys.
Yeah, man.
Like it don't look like he gave him the keys. It looked like he already gave him the keys. Like, okay, here, I'm going to let you – I'm going to let you do you. I'm not going to get involved. I'm going to let you down to everything on the offense side of the ball. You got it. This is your show.
And you can tell because Munkin is using it from an NFL standpoint. He's saying, okay, what's going to work best for us game to game? We're going to impose our will, whichever way we're going to impose it on teams, and we're going to make things happen. So in our case, I mean, the offensive line has really stood up and played well, especially
on
the
blocking.
Pass.
They pass blocking has gotten better.
Exactly. And it's been the run blocking that has not been a stellar. So then when you go back and look at the progression of the game, as the game went on, you could tell that their run blocking even became much, much better because of the pass. And I think they're going to have to do that until they get used to it. I mean, you've got a lot of young guys on that offensive line. You still got SVP, you know, making his third start, right?
And he's doing well.
He's doing excellent, great. Right? You got some changes on the interior of the line because Tate Ratledge went down. Game one, so you got some changes on the interior of the line. Justin Schaefer moving over to right guard. You got McClendon, who actually didn't do that bad of a job on the right side. I mean, people giving him knocks.
He's been there since last year, too. He's been doing good.
But I'm impressed by the progression of the offense. And going back to what you said with JT, you could tell that these boys put in work over the summer. And I don't care who his receivers were. I don't care if it was Pickens, Blaylock. But Burton. AD, it don't matter who it was. Obviously, he was working with all of them because he's got a rapport with all of them. That deep ball just doesn't come out of nowhere. And you can see that even with South Carolina. They're throwing deep balls and they're missing guys by 10 feet, right? JT's throwing deep balls and he's hitting them boys right on the money, if not.
But remember, he was missing deep balls to Burton in the Cincinnati game.
Yes.
The money now, you can tell. Yes.
And then I also like the way that these guys ran the football. I mean – you had Zeus.
Oh, we got to get into that. We got to get into that rotation.
We'll get into it. But, I mean, you got to give it up to them because they ran the ball pretty decent. You had Milt, who had 66 yards rushing. You had Zeus, who had, I think, around 40 yards rushing. You had Cook, had around 50 yards rushing.
Cook shocked the hell out of me last night. I'm like, where has Cook been at? That probably the best I've ever seen Cook run. That's probably the best game I've seen.
Yeah, inside and outside, right? Because usually he's so small, he gets swallowed up on the inside. But he's making plays where he's staying on his feet, bouncing out to the outside. That boy's becoming special, man. He's learning a lot of things.
Where has this James Cook been for 3 years? Cook need more touch. And we're going we need to get into that.
Let's get into it now. No, get into it now because your emotions are high.
Okay,
let's get into that running back room.
The one thing I didn't like about last night with the running back rotation is like Cook had a big run. You know, he takes him out. I'm like, you can't really get a running back into a groove when he just have a big run. You take him out and stuff like that. Milton had a big run. We take him out. Can he do a jet sweep for 10 yards? Take him out. I'm like, yo, when these running backs have a big run, we need to keep them in so they can catch a groove and they starting to get hot. Like that rotation, I don't know if they just trying to rotate them so everybody can get carries, but we need to leave at least let them at least get five straight carries so they can get into a rhythm, something like that. So a running back can't get into a rhythm off one carry. It's just not, that's not possible.
Man, I agree 100%. And it's tough, man. I mean, I know everybody's got their fan favorites, and everybody already know that I rock with Milt. That's my boy. You know, I call him nephew.
Right.
I mean, but at the same time, I respect all their games. I love all their games. I love Zeus. I love that boy since we got him, right? And Cook, he's right. Special.
We still wish him to do the best because, man, he came back from two ACL injuries. He finally – it's just good to see him finally run through the tackles, starting to get back to where he used to.
Right, but it's tough because you want all of them to get their touches, but like you said, man, every running back is different. And running backs look for different things. Even offensive lines protect and run block differently based upon the running back behind
them. Based on the running back.
Exactly. So I think that's why we're not seeing the consistency of the running game because we're rotating so much. Yes, I understand that you want a guy to hit the A gap, B gap, C gap, whatever. It's a stretch play. But at the same time, there's timing that goes along with that. Right. And running backs, it's like you get into a flow, you get into a rhythm of, okay, I can see how fast his defense is. I can see what type of steps I got to make. Yeah, I'm going to hit that hole, but I got to let my vision come. It's almost like putting on your glasses and saying, okay, now I see more clearly. And like you said, man, if you're taking a guy out after the first or second carry, he's on the sideline. He's like, man, okay, that next rep, I would have been able to bust that. They can't do that.
Yeah, because how Cook was running the ball last night, he could have easily went for 100 yards.
Easily, man. Easily. And you know what it is, too, because of his style of running. Because his ability, he cuts better than anybody else on that team. There's no doubt about it.
I don't know. Kenny might be in that race, too.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, in terms of making the cut and then, boom, going from
changing
zero
speeds
to 60. Zero to 60. I mean, Cook is different at zero to 60. Now, I think – at the same time, when you talk about cutting to power, I'm going to go Milt because once he hits a hole, boom, it's straight up explosion.
Milton probably the most powerful runner. He is.
And then you got Zeus, who's nothing but power. And Zeus is
a power runner.
He's a power runner. And he's never really been that cut.
Just like
he's a mix between all of them. Just a little bit
McIntosh
slower here.
How I knew McIntosh was great when I seen that Arkansas State run. He looked it exactly like Swift.
Yes, he did.
I mean, exactly like Swift. I said, yo, he might be the best out of all of them. That run right there, that run with the little step, with the little plant leg, like Swift.
That dead leg.
They're
all special. And so I can understand when anybody can get frustrated by looking at the run game and saying, okay, why aren't we running effectively? Well, folks, that's why we ain't running effectively, because nobody else is really using five backs or four backs throughout the game and rotating them every other. And it's not even every other series. We're talking like
every
other
one, every carry.
That's insane.
It seems like they trying to keep all the backs happy, but you can't keep everybody happy. That's just how it is. You're going to have to – whoever got the hot hand, you just got to ride with them. They're going to have to respect that. At the end of the day, I know they probably do because the running back room, they like brothers in there. They'll understand. He got the hot hand, you know, let him do his thing because, be honest, Cook and Milton should have had the hot hand last night.
Yeah, they did. And you could see as the game went on because Milt, I think he had like two or three carries in the first half. But when he hit that third quarter – and he started getting his legs underneath them. Boom. It was nothing but explosion. And the same thing with Zeus in the first quarter. I mean, first half, Zeus had most of his yards in the first half. You could tell that he was hitting holes with power, and he was getting those four or five yard carries. But they're going to have to do something, I think, as the season goes on, because it's not – when you get into those games against Florida, against Auburn,
you can't be like rotating the backs constantly like this.
Yeah, you can.
You gotta let one of them at least get, you know, like five good carries. Then, you know, they not in that groove yet. Then go to the other back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, look, man, let's go to that defensive side of the ball because let me ask you this question. I want you to use one word, just one word, to describe this defense, man. One word. What would your word be?
Describe this defense.
Yeah. Just one word.
Greatest.
Dang, you going greatest.
This defense, really, honestly, to me, it's probably going to be the greatest Kirby ever coached. This front seven is not like last year front seven at all. They playing more faster, more violent. The linebackers are filling the gaps better than last year. And what, to me, the two X factors on this defense, everybody say Jordan Davis. Jordan Davis is going to get his regardless.
Yeah, he's man. He's a man child. He's going
to get his. It's Jordan Davis. He's going to get his. But the two X factors to me on the defense, what we didn't see last year,
mm-hmm.
is Nolan Smith mm-hmm. and Tannehill. Tindall. It's Tindall. Georgia fan might give me hell by saying this. To me, he might be the best linebacker in that room besides D.
No, I don't see why they would give you hell for that.
His clothes in speed is special. Like Raekwon Smith clothes in speed. Special. His clothes in speed is elite, and I mean elite. And then Nolan Smith is literally taking on every tackle by itself. I'm gonna give Florida fans hell for this too. Cause I remember when Brendan Cox left, they said he was better than Nolan. All right, Florida fan, we tried to warn y'all about this. The reason Brendan Cox left, because he could not set the edge. Nolan mm-hmm. Smith is setting the edge this year.
He set the edge as a freshman. He knew what to do as a freshman, how to set that edge. But now you're starting to see some other stuff from him.
Now you're seeing him put it together with the pass rush now. Because he got 2.5 sacks now.
Yeah, man.
Now you're seeing him put it together with the pass rushers. Now you're starting to see Nolan Smith being advertised where he was advertised being the number one player in the country now. Now you're seeing him starting to be that guy.
Yeah, man. You know, I say, okay, your word was the greatest. I'm going to use my word as explosive. You know, Kirby been talking about explosive plays on offense, but I don't think he was just talking about explosive plays on offense.
Yeah,
he was also talking about explosive plays on defense. And I'm going to go back to something I said probably in the first episode that we ever did was, remember when Azeez Ojulari, they came to him and said, hey, what type of defense is this going to be? And he was like, special.
He was not lying.
He was not lying, man. I mean, there's only a few teams that you can go back and say, you know what, I cannot wait to see this side of the ball play. Like, I don't care about – I mean, offense is cool. We all like to see points. We all like to see those boys go deep and all that other kind of stuff. Literally, when you see them on defense, every play, you're at the edge of your seat like, what are they going to do next? And what's scary is the explosion, man. They hit – you use the word violent. They are violent, man.
Yeah, that second half, them boys was hitting.
Yes.
Scene was coming down trying to end somebody. They were hitting.
Preach.
Adam Anderson had a hit, too, on the sideline. Them boys was hitting.
Man, it's so scary that there was one hit. And I can't remember if it was Tindall that hit somebody, because I'm going to get back to my boy Tindall. He's a fraternity brother. I'm going to get back to Tindall. But he hit somebody so hard. I was like, damn. And my son jumped up, and he's like 6 years old. He said, Daddy, what happened? And I said, somebody got hit hard, son. Somebody got hit hard. I said, you need to turn away from this one. Because I thought they dang near killed somebody.
Them boys hitting.
They are hitting hard. And when you said sideline to sideline, these boys go sideline to sideline.
Oh, no, we got to talk about that. That sideline to sideline.
We're going to get there. Hold on. We're going to get there.
We got to talk about it.
But they go sideline to sideline as a unit. better than any college team I've seen in a long time, because you mentioned, okay, you mentioned Davis going to get his. Davis gets his on the interior and sideline.
And on the sideline.
You got Tindall. Tindall's not even starting. He comes off the bench. And he's going sideline to sideline.
He barely gets 20 snaps a game. And yes. He's looking like linebacker one. That he needs to get more snaps. I need to see him. Oh, and another guy that's I know he got a face mask call yesterday, but the guy looked like he got shot out of a cannon. Quay Walker, boy. Flying. I would take that. As long as he give that type of effort every play, I would take that every time. He looked like he got shot out of a cannon.
I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm an NFL scout, I'm looking at this defense, and I'm looking at the NFL.
Defense saying, okay,
I got nine guys right now because there's nine that's going to be eligible.
Which one we going to pick in all these seven rounds? Right? Which guy we going to pick?
Yeah, man, because they are special in they're just explosive. I mean, you got Dean. I mean, okay, let me say another word. Intelligent. Because they diagnose stuff, and I don't even know if anybody recognizes it. There are plays where Ringo was calling out the defense saying, yo, fellas, get into alignment, get into adjustment. That's a freshman saying that.
And you love to see that.
You love to see that, man. And that lets you know that there's not going to be very missed, assignments that are missed, blown plays. And we'll get to that too. But
We're going to get to the secondary. Special.
Well, let's go there, man. Let's go there with the secondary, because I know, reading Twitter and Facebook and everything else, people were like,
They was on Ringo head last night.
They was on Ringo when they were on speed, but I don't think it's completely accurate. I don't think with speed, it was a little bit accurate, but not with Ringo. I don't think it was.
Yeah, speed was a little bit accurate, but the Ringo situation that's not accurate. People got to realize that Ringo he played in Arizona, so he didn't see the talent he's seeing now. He's still learning, but people got to look at it. He's already surpassed Tyson Campbell's freshman year Tyson played as a corner.
Yeah.
Because remember when Tyson played at South Carolina, he had a couple pass interference calls. He gave up a big touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Ringo is actually progressing quite well for his freshman year. He's already surpassed Tyson Campbell's freshman year. Ringo is going to be just fine. Even though he got burnt last night, but he's a freshman, and this is his first year to start SEC ball, and this is his first year. Because when you're in Arizona, you don't play talent like that. You don't play talent like how people play in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be just fine. He's still learning the position. He's still learning how to play man press coverage, because he mostly been used to playing zone. And he's starting to realize he's starting to play with his instinct instead of his technique.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And even if you go back to that video that they put out last week with Coach Adai, which he needs a lifetime contract, by the way. when they put out that video and he's showing those guys how to track the ball, you know what I'm saying? Stay with your man, know your technique, but stay with your man, let your instincts take over. Because remember, that little clip, he says, I can't tell you to look for the ball. I can't tell you what to do. Let your instincts take over.
I'm going to say this again. Look, Kirby, you follow me. You follow me on Twitter. And Coop, you follow me on Twitter too. I need y'all to give him a lifetime contract. Please do not let him leave Georgia. I'm going to say this again. Coop and Kirby, y'all follow me on Twitter. I need y'all to give him a lifetime contract as UGA DB coach. You hear me? Lifetime.
Yeah, man. Because he's doing something different that other DB coaches have not done, which is, okay, the technique has always been there. Go back to when Kirby was at Alabama. The technique for DBs underneath him have been stellar. That's why people get drafted all the time out of Alabama, out of Georgia for technique.
And out of LSU, too.
And out of LSU. But then there's something.
I guess we can say Florida, because Florida do kind of put out DBs. So, yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking about under Kirby.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because LSU, Kirby and Saban, everybody always looks for those boys, right? But then there's something special that comes. And that's what Adai is saying. He's saying, look, man, you're a five-star. Exactly. Use your God-given ability and your instinct. And what people are going to start to see with Ringo is that it's going to come a point, and we were talking about before we even started recording, that you're going to see Ringo become more like Jalen Ramsey. He's long. He's lean. He likes to hit. And he is, one, he's stellar in zone coverage. But his ball skills are outstanding. And you go back to even the high school they were talking about, like, there's something different about this dude and his ball skills. When he allows his complete instinct to take over and say, you know what? I'm the best corner out here. I'm the best corner in the nation. You're going to see something special out of Ringo. I mean, we already saw the first couple of games. You can see he's special. He had a lot of passes.
He's really trusting them ball skills.
Yeah, man, he had a couple pass breakups.
You see him with Seam trucking his instincts too in coverage.
Exactly. Exactly. They're going to be all right. I think that, one, they didn't expect to see South Carolina go downfield. And Van had a good game.
They weren't expecting to go over top like that.
Yeah. I mean, and they missed, obviously. But I think when you get into those games against Florida, they're going to scheme something different. You get in those games against Auburn.
We all know Dan Mullen going to try to scheme some of them.
Right.
We already know because he's like him, to me, the best play callers in the SEC. Might be Lane. Yeah, Lane is definitely the best play caller in the SEC. But Dan Mullen is up there.
Up there. You got to give him his props. I mean, he's
got to give him respect for his face. His play calling is up there. No bias to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then another thing I peeped in the game, we all know DK did get dunked on. He got mossed. But but the bright side of that, DK actually was in the right position and trying to make a play on the ball. If he was an inch taller, he would have picked that off. But that's just great. That was great defense, but better offense. And you have to live with that. It's just the game.
Man, look, the name of the game is called 50-50 ball, right? Either you're going to come down with it or somebody else going to come down with it.
Well, so, I will live with that because my corners are trying to look for the ball. They're not doing like last year. They're actually trying to make a play on the ball. And you love to see that.
Yeah,
and see that moving forward.
And again, 50-50 ball. So the next time you can anticipate that. And what happened? He ended up picking one off. I'm going to give some shout-outs to myself because I said it again. I said they're going to have about three turnovers. They had a fumble recovery. Actually, I thought Ringo was going to get one again, but I did say that DK was going to get his first. He did get his first. So shouts out to him for getting his first. But
I don't know the crazy thing about that. Everybody said our secondary was going to be fooled. But look, I got 5 interceptions already in 3 games.
That's what's scary, man. That's what's scary explosive, right? I mean, I think that's what's making this defense even more explosive because now they trust in the back end. Lanning trusts in the back end because he know he got a day back there teaching them boys the right thing. It's scary. It's scary. But before we get off this game, we got to go to the elephant in the room. And I think the elephant in the room was probably coaching. And I'm going to say this. You know where I'm going.
Yeah, that first quarter, that quarterback change, that pissed me.
Yes. Yeah, you just said it for everybody.
Yeah, and that really had me wanting to throw a shoe at Kirby. I ain't going to lie. I wanted DeMarco Wilson that man. Yeah. I see we was up big, but we just up 14-3 against the SEC team.
Yeah.
In the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And JT was in a groove. And it literally put the whole offense in a flat. That really pissed me the goal.
Yeah, man. When you look at it, like you said, we up 14-3. And to me, I can understand if they say, okay, well, the reason why we did it was really to protect JT. He's still injured, whatever. But it didn't appear that way because JT played second, third quarter after Bennett comes in, throws the INT. And again, I don't have a problem with Bennett as a whole, and I want to put that out there because I don't have a problem with none of the players out there. But to me, it was a rhythm thing. And when you got your quarterback who is a Heisman hopeful, who's playing outstanding, and they're getting into a rhythm, let those boys rock, man. Let them cook. And
please.
You get to the third quarter, you get to the fourth quarter, then you bring Bennett in, and you say, okay, I want you to get some reps, continue to go against an SEC-caliber defense, then do your thing. But this platooning thing where we already talked about it with the running backs. Don't platoon
like,
so much.
Please, can we please
definitely stop not with the quarterback.
With the rotation with offensive players. Keep the defense rotating. Just stop the book. Please. God, let's say a prayer. Please let Kirby stop rotating the offensive players. Please.
Now let me retract something. I mean, go back on something though. I can understand the receiving room because
you do have a lot of guys and quarterbacks, please just lead that.
Let's get into a rhythm now, man. It's time to get into a rhythm
and let us work. That shit right there, we could have put up probably 50 points.
Yeah.
We're in the first quarter.
Yeah.
We're in the first quarter, it's 14-3. We playing the SEC team. We're not playing UAB.
Yeah, man. I was like, I didn't know what had happened. I thought JT had gotten re-injured, but when I found out that he was okay.
You making a call? Kirby, man. You smarter than that, man.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kirby. I mean, I'll always be Team Kirby.
Kirby, that
was crazy.
We're not trying to. Your name is Kirby Smart, not Kirby Dumb. Please don't do that no more.
Yeah, man. I think that was the only elephant in the room. I think outside of that, everybody was cool with the defensive calls, the offensive calls. I think
you could actually see
the fans and the fan base deflated in the stadium because
it was like huh?
Yeah, and I don't know if it was because there was a certain quarterback in the stands. I don't know. And we're going to get to that here in a second, but...
Yeah, we got to get to that, what happened.
When I don't know
what it was. We got to get to that.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, man. But I mean, the game as a whole, you know, I continue to be impressed by the Dogs. You know, now we're 3-0. Now we're getting ready to go against Vanderbilt, and we'll get into that next week or for the pregame show for that. But we 3-0. I'm impressed. They should be 1A, 1B, depending on who's making that pick right now, and we'll get to Alabama here in a little bit too. But I'm impressed overall, man. This team is just special, man. They're just special.
If one thing I say with what the offense kind of needs to be, the offense just needs to be consistent, and the O-line just needs to be consistent. If we can put all of that together, and that's a big if, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We could possibly win a Natty. If the offense and the offensive line can come together as a whole and be consistent, we're going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah, we're already seeing that, man. But well, hey man, let's switch gears because I mean obviously the game is over, but there were some people in the house, man. We had
some big names in the house.
We had some big names in the house. Arch Manning.
They put out the official red carpet. Fans was like, yeah, Archie, we want you to come in. Had to paint on their chest. The whole student session was rocking.
Yes, sir. For an unofficial visit. That wasn't an official visit.
That was unofficial. Imagine the official visit when it comes. But, man, it's glad to see the fan actually showing interest and the players who they want to come to UGA and stuff like that. It's always great to see that. And we had Ethan White in the house. We had the guy from Texas, the number one all-purpose running back. And you know, we had our guy on the receiver on what's his name?
Burton.
He's a fan of the show. Play for North Cobb.
You talking about Morissette?
Yeah, he's a fan of the show. He was out there. Yeah, you know, we had Jalen Walker there.
Yes, sir.
And what's another thing I want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see Gunnar Stockton that much at games now.
Yeah, man. I don't know what's about.
I don't know what's up with that, but we don't see Gunnar Stockton too much at games. I guess he's both locked in on his football season.
You know what? They did say that Gunnar, if there's something going on with his high school team, he don't attend things. And I got to respect that.
There's
a lot of guys.
You never know. He might just be locked in to his senior year.
He didn't go to some 7-on-7s because in some opportunities, some national opportunities because of things with his team. So if there's anything going on with his team, whether it's lifting, whether it's workouts or whatever it may be, he doesn't attend. So I got to give him props for that because he is a complete 100% team player. So that might be the case, but we have not seen Gunner. And that might be the reasoning. I don't know. He is UGA committed, but going back to those other guys, man, you know, there's a lot to be said for when your commits come in-house. You know, we've always been RBU. You got to give that up to us. But when you got the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball, especially your specialty players, your receivers, your running backs, your quarterbacks, and they're all performing at high levels in front of recruits, that's a lot, man. You got Burton getting ready to make his decision soon. You got some DBs getting ready to make their decision soon. Like you said, you had Arch Manning in the building. I'm sure that him and his dad, Cooper, wanted to see what style of offense, what style of play the Dawgs are going to use under Kirby Smart, because they definitely don't want to send their son here to be able to just hand the ball off.
Seen when AD caught that touchdown. Who did he run up to? He said, come here, come throw me touchdown pass my junior year.
Yes, sir.
I know everybody. Look, man, my Twitter account, Trey Two Trigger, is officially an AD Mitchell Stan account.
Yo, man, but look, again, we were the first ones, along with Terrence.
Everybody didn't want to believe it because they'd be caught up in the five star. But this guy
is special.
Is really special. Like, he is the future. Like, no, I'm not even trying to be like cocky or nothing, but we know Burton is the alpha right now. He obviously won.
Yeah, he's always been
the next
alpha.
Guy behind him is Mitchell. Y'all okay. Seen it last night because he got his first start. And when he had that first start in that moment, the opportunity, he flawlessed in it. He took advantage of it. He made everything. He did great. The guy was blocking good. Mm-hmm. He ran his routes good. Like, the guy is going to put it like this. AD and Brock Bowser for the future of Georgia, we in great hands.
I mean, but that means a lot, though, right? Because if you're a guy like Burton, right, if you are – a Delp and you're looking at this offense and you're saying, okay, how are y'all going to use your specialty player? How are you going to use the wide receiver? How are you going to use the tight end? To me, I'm hyped.
We got another receiver on the alert that just put out. He's going to be committing next month. So you got to look at it. He probably could be watching the game like, oh, they playing a freshman. Hey, Burton.
Luke. Oh, yeah, Burton. Yeah.
AD showing out like, yo, I might need to take my talents to UGA instead of Missouri or Bama type-wise.
Yeah, and I think fans need to recognize that not only that, but recruits, you're only one play away. I hate that next man up mentality, but truly, you are one play away from getting an opportunity to come on, and you never come off the field. Think about how Bama boys, you got guys that will actually go down to the bottom of the depth chart based off of getting an opportunity, and I got like my man, he's from back home. Oh, Rob Foster. Five-star wide receiver when he was Alabama.
He was
supposed to be the next guy. He was a dog, but the problem was he got hurt. Next mm-hmm. man jumps him. Now you don't play again. I mean, he ended up getting his shot in the NFL, but still, that next man up mentality is necessarily true when you're a special player like that.
Yep.
And so,
and then when in college, man, when you get hurt, that next guy can get hot, and then, you know, you're gonna have to work your way back in there.
Yes, sir. You're gonna have to, man. But, yeah, man, so we had those recruits in the house. Not only that, we want to give a shout-out to Carlton Madden Jr. He committed to Georgia.
Yes, sir.
That was a big get-up right there. I mean, it was kind of like thought of, right, when he decommitted from Colorado that he was going to probably stay in-house. But he's a special player, man. People don't realize that he did not play his junior year.
At all. He basically kind of like Bear. Because remember, Bear played barely his – He yeah. only played like – because he, I think he came back from injury. He barely played his junior year.
Exactly.
So we all seen Bear. Bear is looking like he's going to commit soon because he's dropping a commitment hype video.
Yeah,
like
he need to just quit playing around.
Yeah, he need to quit playing around. It's between us and Texas A&M.
He need to quit playing around.
He need to come on to UGA. Because look, yes. man, Jordan Davis already said, you can get 99 when I go to the draft. You need to stop playing. Come with the good guys, man. Come on.
If he don't see what Davis, Wyatt, Carter, Stackhouse, what all these boys are doing up front, Walthire, if he can't see that, then I'm sorry. He just blind. He need to stay in Texas where you know.
Yeah, he just need to stay at Texas A&M, man.
Yeah, because that's crazy. I mean, you got
to
get
even the DBs, man. Even the DBs need to see what we're doing. Like, look, dude, we have five intercepts. We teaching ball skill instinct. We hitting. like
and
yo,
people are getting reps too. You ain't like it's the
like you got look.
We going 43 deep.
Hey, I
Dirty Dan. I know you're going Dirty Dan.
Hey, man, Dirty Dan, cool people. But you got Dirty Dan getting reps. He's a walk-off. And Dirty Dan out there trying to hit something.
Yes, Dirty
Dan out there trying to hit something.
Yes, hey, yes.
Respect to Dirty Dan. He a walk-on. He getting reps. He doing his thing, man. Dirty Dan out there trying to make a play, man.
Hey, I mean, but that's what happens when you got that much talent on the field. It makes everybody better. It makes everybody look better. It gives everybody an opportunity. So these boys need to quit playing around. Come to Athens, you know.
How you don't want to play at Athens defense, man? How you don't want to play at Georgia, man?
Dude, I feel like Suge Knight. For all y'all boys that want to come win natties, that want to go to the NFL, that want to get hard and hurt people, bring yourselves down to Athens.
Like, look at what Azeez doing, man. He's already got 2 sacks right now. Hi,
yeah, man.
Look, man, you want
to – development.
You want to be great, man. You want to play in a good defense and be coached by a great defensive coordinator. And we do put guys in the league on defense, man. Why not come to UGA?
Yeah, man. Well, hey, last thing we're going to get on before we get out of here, man, for this here show. 2-minute offense, man. Real quick, thoughts on the Alabama-Florida game. I know you watched it. You peeped it out a little bit before, you know, we went on and watched that SC game. Ooh. What's your thoughts on that real quick?
Honestly, the biggest question is Florida that good or is Bama that bad?
That's the question that I got on Twitter, man. People were asking me that. My DMs blew up. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I know Dan Mullen calls them great. Basically, Bama had the same thing, I think, what happened to us last year when they didn't adjust. Correct. Mm-hmm. We all know Dan Mullen ran wheel routes on us. It looked like Dan Mullen kept hitting Bama with read option and they just didn't adjust. And it looked like, to me, it looked like their defense looked a little bit lost out there. You don't see that from an experienced defense like that.
Yeah, they did. I feel the exact same way, man. When you were watching it, Alabama got up 21-3.
Yeah, I thought it was over then, but right. People ain't gonna like this, but shout out to Emory because he could have folded. A lot of quarterbacks would have folded against Bama 21-3, but he kept in there. He stayed true. They came back from 21-3. They made it a game. But that goes a lot to say about Emory and his character and a leader to that football team because a lot of quarterback would have folded.
Yo, man, obviously we all know that we all hate Florida. Everybody, we're going to hate Florida. Florida going to hate us. That is what it is. But sometimes you got to get props where props is due.
Right.
And Alabama, you know, coming in one. They were supposed to have that highly touted defense, and it wasn't even supposed to be about the offense. It's supposed to be about the defense, right? But it hasn't been so far. They gave up 24 points to Mercer. Then they go to Florida, and again, they up 21-3.
Almost 300 rushing yards, too.
Exactly. And not only that, you got Dan Mullen. Got to give props to him because he can draw up some offensive plays and everything else.
He ran a great scheme on him last night.
He sure did. He almost pulled one off. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not so – I'll say this. It's 50-50. I'll say Bama is not as good as what people thought they were going to be.
Yeah, they're not as good as what people thought they would be.
I said that, man. I said that Bama was not going to be what people thought they
Glad
were
what,
supposed
what
to
Dan be. Mullen showed, what Florida showed, how they played, yes. Bama is not what – Bama is beatable.
Right. And I think Florida is progressively getting better, but they still don't have the skill position.
Florida is progressively getting better.
Right. And like, I think Emory Jones is really getting –
Blowing Florida out, like that's not happening.
Yeah.
No.
And I think Emory Jones is getting into a flow. I think that they're learning how to use Emory because see a lot of Florida fans want him to be just like Kyle Trask was. It's two different style of quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's two different styles of quarterbacks.
And Emory has the ability to actually
Emory could
run
use
the ball.
His legs.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what made it a problem. That's what made it a problem for them because you had the middle line 1-2 where Henry 2-2 was kind of leading the field over. He had to plan for Emory to run. So if Emory having a threat of his legs is going to cause us some problems, you know, mm-hmm. for the defense and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, obviously we got Florida October 30th, October. Right before. Yeah, late yeah. October. I mean, by that time, I think both teams will be solidified in who they are. You know, it'll be what it is and whoever wins
yeah,
that
it
game.
Always, it's Florida and Georgia. It's always a rivalry game, so you never know what to expect.
Never, never. But Alabama's got some tests, man. They're going to have to overcome some
things. I cannot wait. That Ole Miss game,
yes.
that is going to be a game.
Yes, and you got Lane Kiffin who understands Alabama's defense. Yeah,
Lane Kiffin going to dial up.
He's going to expose some stuff. So we'll see.
I hope Lane Kiffin throw a clipboard there. I need to see that. And Lane, don't ever change, man. Please.
All right, man. Let's get out of here, man. I mean, we're gonna wrap it up and we're gonna get back into it on Wednesday's show to be able to put out for Thursday for the fans. But any other shout outs you got, man? Anything you want to say before we get up out of here?
Shout out to Adam Anderson. Good game, man. You playing lights out. Shout out to AD for his coming out party. Glad to witness it. Shout out to everybody that watched the show and comment on it. We appreciate y'all on the podcast, man.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.